over us, and it doesn't matter where we live. The whole earth belongs to you, and I pray, God, this morning that you touch our hearts here in this room, in this country. But also, I pray, Father, so dearly for Esosa, my cousin, who lost her husband this morning. I pray, God, for the children, too. I pray for all of my family that are involved and engaged, those that I spoke to this morning that I'm going to see later on this year. Thank you, God, for your amazing reach into people's hearts and lives, how you draw people to you. And God, even in tragedy, I know, God, that you have a message for us.
Yes.
God, I pray that none of us take for granted what we're hearing, because our life can be taken in any moment.
Yes.
And we have an opportunity today, right now, to get right with God.
That's right.
And to take advantage of that opportunity, not just for ourselves, but for our family members, and that we share with them what we're learning, what we're hearing, because no one is promised tomorrow.
That's right.
God, I pray that we do not take for granted what we hear today, what we're hearing day in and day out. Please be with Esosa, be with her kids, Karima, all of them, God. I pray for my uncle and aunt that they will comfort Esosa, Adesua, all of them, God. I pray, God, that you reach out and touch them in ways that, and they feel your presence in a way that they never have before.
Yep.
And I pray the same for us this morning.
Please,
that
God,
none of us live here the same.
Amen.
That we do not take for granted what we have.
That's right.
God, please open our hearts this morning to hear the message. And if Satan is here picking at our hearts and trying to take something from us, God, I pray that you bind him and you help us to have our hearts seared and opened and consecrated to your word this morning. And that we take everything and we walk with it. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Man, thank you, brother. I just appreciate your heart, your spirit. And I've been praying for his family there. And so we keep on our prayers. Amen. You know, and we talk about God's plans for us. I want to do a little overview. The title of my message is God's Plan for Us. God's Plan. And what's important to understand is that God's plan is better than your plan. We must get rid of our plans and take on God's plans for our lives. We talked about in Ephesians, we were chosen, predestined according to his plans, not our own. For the purpose of his will, not our own will. Thank you, brother. And it's very important that we understand that. That we take on God's plan. We take on God's will. And God's purpose. Because that's how we're going to survive. Your plan won't work. It fails. In Psalms chapter 33, God's plans last forever. His plans does not come around for a short time. God watches everything we do. God considers everything we do. God's eyes are always on those who put their hope into his plans. In Proverbs, it talks about God establishes our plans only if we commit to him. God said, I will take care, I will establish your whole life if you only will commit to me. Also in Proverbs, it says, it is God's plans that will prevail, not ours. Only God's plans prevail. Whatever plan you have it eventually fails if it's not God's plan. We've got to make our life align with God. God does not make his life, his spiritual line with us. We make our life needs to align with God. In Corinthians, talks about God's plan for us is always yes through Christ. You know, people like to go, man, God will never answer my prayers. Well, the reason you feel like your prayers never answered because what you pray for is not God's plan. But if you learn what God's plan is, you will learn if you always strive and do God's will and live out his plan, the answer is always yes. But it's the way we live our life and we always trying to make our plan fits God's plan. No. Or you trying to make God say, God, this is where I want to go, so you join me. No, it's you going, hey, I'm going to join you, God, with your plan. We've got to get rid of our plans. You've got to learn how to, before you make a plan, pray and ask God to reveal himself to you. God, reveal the plan to me. You got to learn how to do that. It's very important that we do that. It's very important that you pray for that. In Jeremiah 29, we talked about, God says, man, I want to prosper you, not to harm you. I want to give you a hope in the future. That's God's plan. We talk about salvation is found in no one else but Jesus. That's God's plan. We're talking about repentance and being baptized, born again. That's God's plan. Learning more and more how to do his will. It's God's plan for us to speak about him and talk about him. It's God's plan for us to share our lives with others. This is God's plan. And in a little bit in part two, we talked about God's plans for all of our lives. One of his plans that we really need to understand more and more and more is, and what I'm going to pick up this morning is surrendering. It is God's plans for us to surrender to him. It's time to wave the white flag. Throw the towel in. That's where you can throw the towel in and wave the white flag, when you surrender to God. We've got to learn how to do this and make this part of our lives each and every day. So let me pick up now and start in part three. My first point is, God's plan for us is to surrender to him. We must surrender. Wave the white flag. Give yourself up to him. You ever heard this? Turn yourself in. Bow down and worship him. Because the Bible clearly teaches every tongue will confess and every knee will bow. The thing is, you shall bow now or you will bow later. But you will bow. The problem, if you bow later, that means it's too late. If you bow when God's coming, Jesus sent his son from heaven, and you looking up and you see Jesus coming, you go, oh my God, there he is. And then you bow, but you never bow your whole life. You only bow when you look up and he's coming. It's too late. It's too late. You've got to bow now. Surrender now. Believe in God now. God's more important than your money, more important than your music, more important than your cars, more important than getting married. God is more important than all of these. You must learn to bow now. When you bow, he can give you those things according to his will and not your own. It never ceased to amaze me. I can't even watch musical shows anymore. These BET Awards and MTV, it drives, I'd be sitting about to throw up. Just throw up the lies and the garbage that comes out of their mouths. Yo, praise the Lord. Yo, really? And all their songs full of profanity and hatred and calling women bees and full of mess. And then you stand up there saying, give God his glory. Just got to give God his glory. You got to be kidding me. You think God has a plan for you to discriminate women? Use foul language? And you use the excuse of, well, that's reality. That's the way the world is. That's why God says, be in the world, but don't be of the world. Why can't somebody stand up and say, I'm going to do what's right? Pull up them pants. Somebody don't see your drawers. I don't see your foul language. Why do we make those people our heroes and Jesus Christ is not your hero? Why we live, I want to be just like them. I want to get what they got. I don't want what they have. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You got to have dreams and ambition for the Lord. And if God wants you to go certain place and do certain things, he will provide that for you. But as a society, we don't live like that anymore. We won't surrender. We won't even surrender our dreams over to Christ. See, you got to surrender your dreams to Christ. And say, I'm going to take on your dreams, Christ. And when you do that, God will bless you when he's in that area, if he chooses to bless you in that area. And you got to accept that. Because God's goal is, you need to be trying to get where I'm at in heaven. And not get this worldly materialistic things for a short time. Remember, God says, you're going to live forever with me. How long do you think we have here on earth? What's the life expectancy of a man? Anybody know? Between 70 and 72 years. 72 is the max, they say. The average age before we're gone. I'm already 52. So I might have 20 years left. I'm going to give you everything I got these next 20 years. I'm going out with a bang. I'm kicking Satan in the teeth every chance I get. You want me to be mad at my wife? Nah, get out of here. I'm going out swinging. So when I turn 72, they're going to be like, why is this man still alive? I don't know, but every day I'm going to act like it's my last. I'm going to live for Christ. That's surrendering to Jesus. Giving God everything we got and every chance we got. And having convictions about that. We must gain this. Let me show you a good example of Jesus surrendered. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. I can't think of no other better person. Let's look at Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. Now we're going to read through 46. Remember, we're talking about God's plan for us to surrender. And I want you to look at how Jesus surrendered. Look at this. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. It's like getting his boys together and say, I'm finna go pray. Can y'all sit here for a minute? He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him. And he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed. My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away a second time and prayed. My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. My God. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. He didn't do it once. He didn't do it twice. But the Bible says he did it three different occasions. Going to God and say, God, if this your will, so be it. But if there's any way you can take this cup from me, take it away. But I'm willing to do it if this is what you choose for me to do. And that's the prayer. That's the spirit we got to have in our life. When there's something you don't understand, go to God and say, God, take this away if it's your will. But let your will be done, not my own. And then you got to be willing to accept God's will, even when you don't like it. Do you think Jesus liked it? He did it willingly, but he asked God three times to take it away. But he did it willingly. We've got to have the spirit of willing to surrender to Jesus Christ and give God his glory and praise and honor. Look at Jesus, the example that he set on surrendering, giving in to Jesus Christ. Is this the way you live your life? Remember, Jesus is the ultimate example. Now, we set example for one another, but who do we supposed to be imitating? Jesus Christ. So, is this how you live your life? This is what God calls us to do. We need to learn how to surrender in this area. Jesus did not give in to his flesh, even though his flesh was really pulling at him, but surrendered God's will and through prayer and going to God in prayer. We give in to our flesh too many times, brothers and sisters, and we allow our flesh to control our lives. Our own evil desires take over too many times. Jesus did not allow the evil desire to make his decision on what he was going to do, whether die for us or not. He did not give in to his flesh. Look at James chapter 1, verse 14. Oh, yeah. James chapter 1, verse 14. I'm going to read something here to you. In James chapter 1, verse 14, it says, but each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to what? Death. We give in to our own evil desires. You got to understand that, brothers and sisters, that all of us have evil desires in us. We all get mad. We all get angry. But you must not give in to it. Don't let it control you. You have the Holy Spirit to help you through this, but we make time and time again, we give in to our flesh, our own evil desires. And this is the point we need to say no. We must learn to say no to the flesh and yes to God's Spirit and His will for our lives. I love this song I listen to every now and then, and it says, let go and let God. That's what it's talking about. Let go and let God. Don't give in to that flesh. Say no to it. Let go and let God have His way with you. Let go and let God have His way with you. My God, do as you will. Whatever you choose for me to do, I will do it. That's the spirit we got to have. We got to learn how to surrender. And the way you learn how to surrender, you got to know what the flesh is. Some of you, when I say flesh, you can think about just your flesh or your skin. You're not sure what He's telling you about not giving in to the flesh. So let's define it a little bit so you understand. Turn me to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Let's start there first. Chapter 5, verse 16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So the first thing God says, to not give in to your flesh, you need to be walking with what? The Spirit. Who's the Spirit? It's God's Holy Spirit. It's God. God says, you got to be walking with me. If you don't walk with me, you're going to give in to your flesh. So you got to ask yourself, are you walking with God? Is that your best friend? Do you have a relationship with him? Is he the beginning, the Alpha and the Omega? What is he to you? Because when you get in your sin of flesh, if God's that to you, you'll walk away from it. When you wake up in the morning, you don't feel like going to Bible talk, you'll go because you don't give in to the flesh. When you wake up, you don't feel like reading your Bible, you read because you won't give in to the flesh. When you wake up, you don't feel like praying, you pray because you won't give in to the flesh. You've got to gain these convictions. When I don't want to be around my friends, my Christian friends, I want to be around the worldly ones. You say no. Because just as you're tempted, Jesus was tempted. And he showed you how to work through it. I had a brother call me this week and said, man, somebody did me wrong, and I'm having a hard time with him. I don't want to do certain things with him. What do you think? And my response to him was, you know what to do. What do you mean, what I think? Well, I just want to know. I want you to tell me. I said, no, you know what to do. What do you mean, what I think? Well, I just want you to give me some direction. No! His name is Jesus. You know! You know! Don't be looking for me of a way out of doing what's right. See, you know what to do in every situation that you see that's uncomfortable, ungodly. You alone with a man and you think sex I'm going to get involved with. Your spirit speaks to you. What you do, you give in to your flesh. And you got to learn how to say no. I never forget when I first became a Christian. I thought I was holding them down. I thought I had the power to overcome. I was so fired up. I was talking to everybody about Jesus. And people seemed to be responding. I went, I need to go see one of my old girlfriends because she needs to find Jesus too. So I went running. I knocked on the door. This is a true story. She came to the door. She was shocked to see me. She thought I was going back to the world. No, I'm here to talk to you about Jesus. She started batting her eyes at me, smiling, shaking her little hip, and I felt my whole body get weak. Oh, Lord Jesus. I start thinking, why am I here? Have I lost my mind? And I want to leave, but my leg was ankle down. I'm trying to get away, Jamie. I tried. And then she started getting closer to me. And I'm like, oh, Jesus. Like, oh, I can't move. I'm trying. And she got closer and closer. There's a true story. I'm not lying to you. She got right there on me. And I felt like, oh, God, I told you I love you. I'm finna give in to this crazy woman. Oh, give me strength, God. And out of nowhere, she said something very mean to me, like, you thought you was a Christian, huh? Like, she had me. Look what I'm finna do to you, and you're supposed to be a Christian. When she said that word, boy, she just not did that little, y'all know how y'all do that little network thing? She did that little thing to me. And tell me, uh-huh. And you supposed to be a Christian. Oh, my God. I felt like the heaven opened up and God zapped the Holy Spirit in me. Because all of a sudden, I just felt like, dun, 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 dun. Man, I went, what? I said, you're right. What in the world am I doing? I looked the square and I said, you are right. Have a good day. Went on by, and I never put myself in that situation again. Never again. I start thinking, I ain't gonna never think I'm holding them down again. There ain't no way in the world I'm gonna try that mess again. No. You gotta get out of those situations. Don't give in to your flesh. I told you I was in the grocery store one time, and this is recently, and a woman, and Vinnie was nearby, and this woman just talked so nice to me, just, how you doing? What's your name? So I've been nice back. I'm trying to be a Christian. I'm doing good. How you doing? And we just talking, and Vinnie walked up on me and left, and I never forget, Vinnie looked at me and said, now, what you think just happened? I'm talking, what you mean what happened? I'm like, is this a trick question? I'm like, what did I do, John? I'm thinking, what did I do? She said, oh, so you didn't think she was flirting with you? You got to know when you're getting flirted with. You better know. You better know. Because, well, you know, it can lead to something else. Oh, my God. I'm like, okay, honey. I got you. It ain't going to happen again. You get me once. Okay, I'm glad I ain't go no further than that little grocery store. And as soon as I thought I had it all together, less than a week later, I'm by myself next time. Happen again. See, Satan don't play. Satan knows your weakness. Soon as Vinny ain't with me, I'm minding my own business. I got to leave Walmart alone. Every time I go up to Walmart, something crazy happens. I'm going to leave Walmart alone. What? That might be what the problem is, Walmart. Every time I go up in that mama, man, I'm thinking, I'll be minding my own business. I don't be messing with nobody. Trying to find food. To feed my army. And I ain't talking about my two. I'm talking about the army. And I'm in Walmart. I told y'all this really happened. I'm getting to the mic. I'm going to the line. Mind my own business, brother. I ain't missing. I'm trying to be like Jesus. Trying to glow so you can see Jesus. Trying to glow. I want to glow. And a man and two women walked up on me. I didn't think nothing of it because there's three of them. And I'm trying to go in line, and she just went, what's your name? Lord have mercy. Caught me off guard. Excuse me? So I immediately pull out my pastor card. I'm Pastor Harris. Okay. That's what she's like, really? What that's supposed to mean? Yeah. And that one got me. I got to be honest. That threw me for a loop. There was no respect of me saying, it's almost like she's like, she had pastors before. It was like, so what? It just threw me for a loop for about a half a second. And I said, okay, flesh, get to stepping. I stood my ground. I felt like the angels opened up the floodgates of heaven before words came out my mouth. I stood and I looked at that woman, and I stood there in front of Walmart, everybody. I say, ma'am. And all I got to was ma'am. That dude that was walking with her, I don't know who he was, he rebuked the snot out of that woman. He turned to her and said, did you not hear what he just said? Give him his respect and leave him alone. And he just kept walking. And the woman looked at me, looked at him, just started walking. And I'm like, whoa. Then he disappeared. I wanted to run down and say, man, look, you're an angel. Wait a minute, where you going? Man, it's one of those moments. You want to, what just happened? What just happened? He rebuked the woman in Walmart in front of everybody. He rebuked her. Do you not hear what he just said to you? Leave him alone. And he kept walking. And I thought they were together. As they walk, I'm like, maybe they're not together because they three walked up. Like, you know, when you walk into get ready to check out, they kind of looked like they were walking together. Then I realized maybe they weren't together. Maybe he was doing what I was doing, just trying to check out. And he turned in front of the line of people and rebuked her. didn't give in to my flesh. Do you give in to your flesh? Does your flesh control you? Are you weak or do you walk with God? Look at verse. Let's read again. Chapter 5, verse 16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. See, the flesh and the Spirit are in battle. There's a war going on for your soul. There's a war going on for your soul. Now listen to me. I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to answer it honestly, if you think you know how. Who wins this war? Who wins this war for your soul? Say it loud if you think you know. Really? How do you know this? No, it does not. It does not. Who wins the war for your soul? Whoever you give in to. God let you choose. He does not win that war for you unless you choose him. And this is what people get it wrong at. They think God automatically, I'm automatically going to heaven. No, you're not. You must choose God for God to fight for you. Have you chosen God? And you got to choose God by the way you live your life. You don't choose God and go, hey, let me get my groove on in the club. I got the Holy Spirit. And you sleep with everybody. But you're full of the Holy Spirit. That's choosing your flesh. You chose Satan. You made the wrong choice. Every chance you're getting, you cursing out your kids, cursing each other out. You choosing the flesh. You must choose God for God to fight that battle for you. Have you chosen God? There's a battle going on for your soul, and you must make a choice. I give you something. Today you chose God because you're here. But what are you going to choose later when you're gone, when you walk out those doors? What's your choice? What are you going home to? I'm amazed how many people say they go to church religiously, but they go home and they live with a boyfriend or girlfriend. They live together, live in all kind of sin, but they go to church religiously. It's unbelievable. What Bible are you reading? People go to church and people in choirs, and they're full of immorality, they're full of homosexuality, and they go religiously. You're living in the flesh and you chose Satan. Let me ask you another question. See if you get this one right. You got the other one. Not most of you got the other one wrong. Give you one more chance. See if you get this one right. See if you get this right. I ask you this. Ushers, help me out. Let's use this back door. When somebody get up, ushers, move it to the back door so it's not on the side here, okay? And the restroom's on that side. Thanks. See if we get this one right. If you're here right now in church, I want you to raise your hand, see if you get it right. Does it mean everybody here going to heaven? If the answer is no, raise your hand. If the answer is yes, raise your hand. If you're here at church right now, you're going to heaven automatically. But yet, let me ask you this. Then why do people live that way? Why some of you live that way? You got to stop. It's not true. You make the decision whether you go to heaven or hell by the way you live your life. Do you give in to the flesh? You must surrender. Are you with me, church? Amen. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 18. This is some things he said you got to get rid of. Just a few things. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under law. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, adultery, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. God said, you live like this, I have nothing to do with you. You won't inherit God's kingdom. Are you with me? You got to gain these convictions about this. So let me ask you this. So if you live in this way, God gives you a command that you must do. One of the things you got to do to really get rid of your sin, this is what people make a huge mistake on. They'll live this way, and they'll try to live secret lives. You can't get rid of the flesh by living secretly. Do you understand it now? It's impossible to get rid of the flesh if you're living secretly. You can't live secret lives. What's called double agents, 007. That mess ain't cool. It's just cool on TV. How many women he can have before the end of the show? Because he's so cool. That's garbage. Okay. You can't turn around and try to live that 007 life and think somehow you're going to heaven. Look at James chapter 5, verse 16. Talking about how we got to surrender and how we not must not give in to the flesh. James chapter 5. Verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Therefore, do what? To who? To each other. The Bible says we're supposed to be open with each other. Do you know that's a command of God? To be open with each other? See, and then it says, here, this is what God gets you. Because people are like, let me go find my homeboy to tell me, man, I've been messing up too, amen. Okay, that's not what God's talking about. No, that's not what he's talking about. Go find my girlfriend so we can gossip. Girl, let me tell you. No, that's not what he's talking about. What kind of person he said you're supposed to be confessing to? A righteous person. A person that will pray for you, that you know are living the right life. See, a lot of times what we do, we run for those people. We want the person who's living like us so we can have a talk and we walk away feeling good about ourselves. But you have done nothing to help yourself. You got to be willing to get over with somebody who would look in your eyes and say, okay, you need to repent. Now let's pray about this. And this is not the road you want to go down. That's what God's talking about. That's how you get rid of the flesh. God's plan is for us to surrender to him and be with him in heaven. God wants us to make it. In order for us to make it to heaven, man, we got to be willing to not be of this world. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Right next door. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Remember, we're talking about surrendering and how to get rid of this flesh. Listen to this. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the lust of the what? Flesh. The lust of the eyes and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away. But whoever does the will of God lives for what? Whoever does the will of God. Don't you see you need to be praying to be doing God's will? The one who does God's will, how long do they live? How long, church? Forever. Eternity. You want to be with God. But you can't give in to your flesh. You got to know what it means to say no to the flesh. God's plan is for us to surrender to him and to be with him in heaven. He don't want us to go to hell. Let me show it to you. John chapter 6, verse 38. Because people say, well, why God made a hell? He want all of us to go to hell. No, that's not his plan. But there's consequences before the way you live your life. John chapter 6, verse 38. Listen to this. This is very encouraging. I think Mike Holmes read this to us a couple weeks ago. Listen to this. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. This is Jesus now. In verse 39, and this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those who has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believe in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. It's my Father's will for everyone who look to him and believe in his Son to do what? What do he want you to do? Where do he want you to go? Heaven. It's God's plan. It's his will. But he says, but you got to look to his Son. You got to believe in his Son. And not just like, I believe in Jesus. Belief in being obedient to his Son. You got to walk the walk. This is God's plan. This is part of our life of surrendering. We must gain these convictions. Have you surrendered to God and believe in the Son of Jesus Christ? Don't say yes if you're still living in the flesh. We've got to get rid of our walk in the flesh. Don't live that way anymore. Decide today that, know what, I'm not going to be like that anymore. I'm going to give my life over to Christ and learn how to get rid of the flesh. Amen, church. My second point, it is God's plan for us to, as believers, to help others to become believers and obey God. See, God says you're a believer. If you say you're a believer, see, when you say you're a believer, it's not for you to believe and then that's it. He says you got to believe and then you got to be willing to turn around and help somebody else believe and teach them to obey me. That's God's plan for our lives. We got to be willing to surrender to God's plans. See, the thing is, a lot of us think God's plans are boring. They're not cool. Well, the problem is Satan has lied to you, and you begin to believe his lie, because God's plans are challenging. I don't know any other challenging plans on earth than God's plan. God's plans bring you to tears. God's plan have you on your knees saying, oh Lord, give me strength. God's plans make you sigh. Woo! God's plans make you sweat. God's plans are no joke. They are challenging, but we can do it with God. They are not boring. You know what's incredible? Any boy can go make a baby. It takes a man of God to say no. Any girl can get pregnant. It takes a woman of God to say no. I'm going to do this right. He said, well, what if I don't got pregnant? Then it takes a woman of God to say, I'm not doing this again. I'm going to do what's right. That's what it's all about. You've got to really gain some conviction about what it is to be godly. Our world has really confused our young people and old people too. And people my age and middle age too, we're confused. We give in to our flesh and we give in to our want. I saw this movie years ago called Bebe Kids. That was some crazy movie, man. But it made me think of society. We are like a bunch of Bebe Kids. Want. Like the whole world surrounds us and everybody live in chaos and everybody's so doggone bad. And they think it's funny and cool to be bad. No. No. We need to really create, and maybe God will start us to create a society that loves, that apologize, ask forgiveness, build each other up, open the door, shut the door, treat a woman like a woman, instead like a piece of meat, give respect, encourage, carry ourselves respectfully, speak respectfully. It never ceases to amaze me. Even at my age, when I'm out in society, I can just simply open the door for a woman. She'd think I've done the greatest things in sliced bread. Like, she can't remember the last time she's seen a man do that. It just never ceases to amaze me. Never ceases to amaze me. Last night, I'm walking in the mall with my wife holding her hand, and I walked up to her, and I just kissed on her cheek because I missed her. We'd been together all day, but I was just missing her. I'm just telling you the truth, man. I was just missing, man. I went to the bathroom, came back. Lord, where my woman at? And she was at the counter, and I just walked up and just kissed on the cheek and just held her hand. Like, man, this is mine, man. I'm so happy. And I wasn't thinking about nobody else. And all of a sudden, some two women come out. Oh, the world, I got a choir? What happened? You know, and then I'm walking off with my wife, and Vanita started laughing. I said, what's wrong? She said, you don't hear them? I said, no, babe. Man, I wish my husband would do that. Man, I just wish, man, my husband won't do nothing like this. But that's the world we live in. Wow. Now, I wasn't out there trying to please anybody. I'm out there trying to love my wife and be like God. Try my best. I'm learning the more and more I'm like God, if I'm in society, the more and more people say, man, I'm not used to that. I don't see that too often. I went out with Vanita again in the mall, and I was sitting there waiting on her to come. She was showing me a shirt or something. And a woman walked up and said, now, my husband would never do this for me. Sometimes I'm like, so what do you want me to say? Because I ain't finna be your husband. I mean, I'm thinking, what do you want me to say? Okay, man, I'm sorry. Sometimes people want to say, well, you got the wrong husband. What's that going to do? I'm sitting there thinking, man, I'm sorry. All I can, sometimes I can just say, I'm sorry. You know, we can pray for them, can't we? Pray that they find Jesus. Because it's all in Christ. It's all in Christ. But sometimes, though, what's scary is you say you're in Christ and you give into your flesh, and just like people see us do something nice, people see you and you do wrong. And I'm going to tell you the truth, more see you do wrong than do good. Yeah, way more. And they'll tell you in a minute, some of people walk up, you need Jesus. You'll be like, well, I got Jesus. Really? You know, you got Jesus. When do you get him? Because it looks like you need him. That's scary when they say that to you now. You need Jesus. And you're talking about, well, I got Jesus. I'm going to move far away from you. Because if that's Jesus, I don't want nothing to do with it. Don't let that be you, amen? We've got to gain convictions about helping others become believers. It's God's plan. Look at Luke 9:57. In Luke 9, Luke 9:57. This is what Jesus said to them. He's really talking to them about what it is to be with Christ. He says, as they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Is Jesus really trying to help them follow him, right? But then he said, okay, now let me let you know what this means. And he goes, he said to another man, follow me. But he replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Then another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. See, Jesus is very serious about you finding him and becoming a believer, but then he's serious about the example you set. Think about this. Jesus said, you don't come and say, I'm going to follow Christ, but first let me go back and do this. If you come in Christianity and the kingdom doing that, it'll stay with you. It'll mess you up. You'll put things before God all the time. You'll develop a character that when something comes around, God is secondary. And God says, you don't want to develop that character. God must not ever be secondary in your life. Because if he is, you're going to teach other believers that. You will teach them that God is secondary. You can become a Christian, but you know, if something very important, you can go do that first. That's frightening when people say, hey, this is more important than God. And I love that Jesus put in here, gave you real examples of what is not more important than me. But then he gave you stuff that you go, whoa, did he just say that? He said, let the dead go bury their own dead. You come follow me. Right now. You follow me now. And see, we make too many excuses in our society about following Christ. And so therefore, most of when we try to help people learn about Jesus and become Christians, you're not teaching them to become Christians. You're teaching them to become more like you. We need to have the conviction that we teach people about being like Christ and becoming believers. We're teaching them to be more like God. We use the Bible as the standard and not ourselves. This is what keeps me strong. I know what the standard is. It's Jesus. And so I can be open and tell you real life things that happened to me because I go right back to Jesus. He's the standard. And I can't use excuses. You've got to come to conviction to use no excuses about who Jesus is. Look at Luke 9:23. Stay in Luke. Look at verse 23. In Luke 23, then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? God says, man, you want to be a believer? Then you're going to have to learn to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. You can't give in to your flesh. Don't give in to what you want. You got to learn to give in to what God tells you to give in to. See, too many times, bro, our society have confused people about what a believer is. A believer, so who claim to be a Christian, is so watered down. He's a Christian, there's a Christian. Here's a Christian, there's one over there. He's one too. People go around talking about, man, I'm trying to help this believer over here. Well, how do you know he's a believer? How do you know? You better have conviction about what a believer is. The problem is you don't have conviction about what a believer is. And so you can't help a believer learn how to believe in Christ until you have conviction about what a believer is. We got to learn to speak the truth and love to one another. And I told a brother this morning, a brother told me he was going to come somewhere and he didn't go. I pulled a brother aside and said, brother, listen, remember you called me and told me you're going to be somewhere and you didn't call me and tell me you're not going to come. He said, my bad, brother. He explained the whole situation. I said, okay, brother, I hear you. I believe you. But learn to communicate clearly. Because if you say one thing, you do another thing, then I want to sit around and think you're a liar. And me and that brother hug each other. Well, now I can have a clear conscience because we talked. I don't have to worry about that stuff. I'm not going to let Satan come between me and that brother. But see, you got to learn to do that too. It drives me crazy. When somebody come to me, I ain't seen so-and-so. Where's some Bobby want to come unglued? Have you called so-and-so? Why are you coming to me? Because that turns into gossip. If you care about Michael, you call Michael. Don't come to me. What's up with Michael? What's up with you? Why are you asking me about Michael? Each one of us got to gain conviction about loving somebody enough that you go talk to him. Don't worry about me. I'm doing my part. You do your part. The problem is we get caught up in wondering what other people are doing that we're not even doing our part, which walk like Christ. If we walk like Christ, we won't have to worry about other people if all of us doing our part. And then if JC is missing, you don't ever come to me asking about JC. Who should you go to? Why is that so hard? If you got a concern about Rosalind, why would you ask me about Rosalind? I'm not going to gossip against Rosalind. And somebody said, well, you can just say she's doing okay. Well, how did I know she's doing okay if I haven't talked to her? But if I call her and she's doing okay, then I know. But even after I talk to her, you ain't going to come to ask me how she's doing. I'm going to make you call her. Because that's what the family of Christ is supposed to be about. Are you concerned about Isetta? Oh, when I'm concerned about Isetta, I'm going to talk. Hey, Louisa, how's Isetta doing? Louisa, you need to tell me, go ask Isetta. You go ask Isetta. Go pray with her. Encourage her. Find out how she's doing. Somebody asked me about Darius the other day. Go ask Darius. Why you ask me about Darius? That would be gossip. I'm not going to gossip against my brother. You ask Darius. Somebody asked me about how David's doing. Have you asked David? There is right there. Stand up, David, so they can know who you are for sure, because sometimes they'd be confused. Stand up, David. That's David. There ain't no confusing David. Because next time you ask about David, I'm letting him bring his spear gun. He's going to straighten you out. Don't be asking about David. You ask David. You know how Frank do it? Ask Frank. Don't come saying, well, I ain't seen so-and-so in a while. I'm missing this person. Well, have you called him? What point you think you're proving by saying, where is so-and-so? People got the right to come and go as they will. God says, you got to love me with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, but that's up to you. I cannot make you love you, love God, and God doesn't make you love God. That's your choice. I'm going to inspire you. I'm going to encourage you. But whether you come to church or not, let me say this very lovingly. I want you to hear me on this. Whether you come to church or not, I'm going to be here. Whether you love God or not, I'm going to love God. Whether you share your faith with other people or not, I'm going to share my faith. Because my walk with God is not based on what you do. And it shouldn't be based, your walk on God shouldn't be based on what others do. Do you understand that? No, I think some of you do. I don't believe all of you understand that. We don't come to church and go, man, where's the, man, I ain't seen so-and-so. Oh, I'm going to kill myself. These wires, boy. Hey, did y'all see that speed and agility? Hey, I'm 52 years old. You saw that move? That was like, you saw that mic? Yeah, man, ain't that old, huh? Now get back to what we're talking about here. But I'm a show. I can't wait to get home and tell my family about that speed and agility. We got a speed and agility joke around the house. Oh, I got one. Got a good one now. But listen, we've got to gain convictions about our own walk with God. Somebody said, "Well, how's Omari doing?" Well, there's Omari. Have you talked to her? Have you called her? Have you said, "Do you need something? Can I help you? I know you just got back in town. You know." Do y'all know she's having another baby? She just told me last week. I said, I'm going to let the church know. She's pregnant again. That's the second one. Well, she's having a second one. I don't want to give you too many. Are they triplets? Twins? Okay, I'm just asking. I just want to ask. So Amari Stoudemire, because somebody said, who's Amari? You don't even know who Amari is. That's Amari. You know, her husband just coming back. He came to me last week and said, hey, I got to be out of town one more time. Then I'm going to be back for a while. Yeah, I'm going to get you in the word, young man. You need me. We're going to help you. But see, but do you know? Are you involved? When she comes to church, do you take time out to spend time in fellowship? What are you doing? Are you doing your part? Or is, hey, hi, how you doing? Have a good day. Hey, where's that girl that, you know, got a little baby and, you know, sometimes she have a husband with her. What's her name? What kind? That's not Jesus. That's not being like Christ. You got to repent, church, amen? When you want to know about somebody, what are you supposed to do? Ask them. Ask them. Don't ask the preacher. Here's another one. Y'all drive me crazy with this. We're going to stop this one. I need a number. Hey, you got so-and-so number? Like I'm the walking, what's that, the phone book. And all you got to do, let me tell you what I do. Y'all do this. When somebody come, and they come a couple times, they want to be part of church, I write their name and number down. That's what I do. My phone holds thousands of numbers. I might as well put it to use. I'm putting it in the phone. Now I got their name and number. Is that unique? Man, can you imagine all of us do that? And we build family? So that way, on Tuesday, I don't get a call at 8 o'clock in the morning. Hey, I'm trying to get a hold of Rosin. You got Rosin's number? Hey, you know, Lorraine, you got Lorraine's number? Man, what time is it a meeting? I think of the hotel. I get a call. I'm like, so-and-so. Well, hold on, give me a minute. This might be important. Hey, man. Hey, you got Dan's phone number? And I'm saying, why did I answer that? Because I try to answer the phone for everybody. Because you are my family. You are important to me. Every one of you. You are. You're more important to me than this hotel. I don't care what meeting. One of you, Shadan could call me. Excuse me. I'll be back. Hey, Shadan, what's up? That's how I roll. I'm your pastor. They can wait. And when I get through, I go back to them, and they wait. Y'all call me many times I've been in meetings. Sometimes I don't even let you know I'm in the meeting. Some of you can tell, because somebody told me I changed my voice one time. I went, hey, what's up? I didn't realize I did that. I think it was Royal Royal to my, you in a meeting. So, oh, yeah, I am. Oh, I call you back, bro. Okay, everything's cool. And before I hung up, I went, but are you okay? Yeah, I'm okay. I just want to call and pray with you, spend some time. I call you back. And later on that day, I called him back and said, bro, thanks for calling me back. Yeah, I'm a man of my word. I'm going to call you back. But you are important to me. We got to be that way with one another, brother and sister. Are you with me? We've got to be that way, one, because this is the example of helping others become believers. I'm going to close this point out with this. Look at Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. It's a command of God that we do this to each other. Verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of who?
All nations.
All women.
All nations.
All men.
All
Puerto Ricans. I know only all Africans. Oh, I know all white people.
All nations.
God said, we go make disciples of who?
All nations.
All nations. All kind. We can't. God didn't meant for us to be a church of one race. I don't know why churches are that way. But there are some of them that, you know, that's on them. I know the Bible tells me to go to all nations. And we're going to go to all nations. Because no matter what color you are, you know, Carter, that's my little white son. I love some Carter. Carter going to make sure he going to hug me and leave before when he come and go. And Carter sometimes tell me jokes. He be throwing me off with that one. He be killing me with that one. He tell me, got a joke for you. I was like, oh, Lord, let me see if I'm going to get it. I don't think I got. Have I got one yet, Carter? Well, can you give me an easy one? I ain't got one yet. He gave me one about the chicken. I went, oh, I'm going to get this one. I got that one wrong. But I'm glad that we have that kind of relationship, of friendship. Man, we're family. We're family. I love seeing Jamie when he comes. You know, he stands. I got to look up like this to him all the time, but it's okay. You know. But I love the hugs. We pray together every week. It's just so exciting to me, you know. But that's what family is about, amen? all nations. When our sister's sick today, Deborah, she's from Puerto Rico, but I love to eat her food. She's the bomb. But that's what family's all about, amen? We got to, hey, you need to call Deborah. Check on Deborah. I saw her Friday night. She was sick, pushing through. But nobody should come up. Hey, where was Deborah? Have you called her? No, I thought I asked you. No, let's care about Deborah, amen? And have the heart to build each other up and not tear each other down. In verse 19, therefore go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. The Bible says we're supposed to teach believers to obey everything God's commanded us. That's what we're doing, amen? To teach, to help, to build up, and give God his glory, amen? I want to close here. I just want a couple more minutes. I'm going to do part four next week to finish up. I think I should be able to finish up next week. If I don't, it's okay. I'm going to keep getting in the word. But I want to talk about this one before. I'm going to come back to that one next week. But I want to I want to taste in this one right here. I want us to understand something. It is God's plan for us to be joyful in the Lord. Amen. I really want to talk about this one. I'm going to pick up this one and the other one next week some more. But I want to leave talking about being joyful. God does not want us to be sad. It's never God's plan for us to be overwhelmed by our struggles and life worries. God does not want us to be walking around with gravel in our mouth and complaining. Oh, man, life's so hard. I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. Man, I don't even like my job. Don't even like the people on my job. That's not God's plan for us. The school, man, getting on my nerves. Just get it done. It's not God's plan for you to be sad and unhappy. Look at Philippians chapter 4. 4 through 9. We're going to close up with this. We're going to pick up with this next week. Because it's not God's plan. I want us to get this right. God wants us to be joyful. Life is challenging. Life is hard. But God's plan for us to be joyful through those trials and tribulations. Because when people see it, it draws them to God. Like, how can you be happy and you ain't got no home? How can you be happy and you always broke? God. How can I get married out and all I had was a bike? My wife said, God, you ain't lying. I had God. I remember when I asked my mom for some money. She said, you have to figure that out on your own, son. I ain't got no money to give you. You tell me, how you shot? My mom was like, how you going to marry Vanita? You got to ask me for some money. I ain't want to laugh, Mike, but that's what my mom was doing. She was laughing like, are you for real, son? You want to marry Vanita? But you need some money. How are you going to do that one? I don't know, Ma. That's why I'm asking for some money, so I can just get it done. I figure out once we get married. I told her, I figured out. I know how to go get a job. Vanita got a job. But how are you going to take care of Vanita? I figured out. First, can you give me some money so I can get married? For I'm just trying to get married. No, son, go save your own money. Amen. I'm about to cry. Shoot. Man, I was struggling. Save my own money. I got 50 cents. So then I sat down with Vinita's dad. Me and Vinita's dad sat down. I asked Vinita's dad for some money. You want to marry my daughter? And you need, how much you need now? I'm just trying to get the ring. He said, how you going to live after you get the ring? You know your dad. He broke it down. Okay, but how you going to do it after you get the ring? Okay, say I give you the money for the ring. Now what? Well, sir, I'm in love. And I think I'd have fell out my chair. He would have went, what love got to do with it? Because after I said it, I went, oh, Lord, what's going to be the response? But you know what he said? He said, I know you are, son. I said, yeah, Dad, I'm in love, man. I just need some help. I might not share all this because Michael might hit me up one day. I might be setting myself up here, man. I was like, man, I need some help. Dad, I need some help, man. He was like, so how much you need, son? I said, Dad, I can get this and this. We'll figure the rest out. I know you will, son. Let me pray about it. Let me talk to Vinny's mom. I said, okay, Dad. I left thinking I ain't going to get nothing. I might get a couple dollars. I ain't going to get much. And that Sunday, he walked up and gave me a knot of $100 bills like this. And he said, now, go ahead and get married, son. I know you'll figure it out. Man, I was like, oh, my God. You know, but what my spirit was, I was happy whether I got that or not. And see, I was content. I was going to get married whether they gave me money or not. If I had to sell Coke bottles, we'd get married. I wasn't worried about it. Is this thing going to happen? Because I feel like it was God's plan. But when God gave me the money, oh my God, I'm glad Dad, he gave me the money at church. But even at church, I about lost my mind. I almost told Vinny, almost found out when she was going to get married. I was so happy. Because we was trying to keep it a secret. How can you keep something like that a secret? Like, brother, look what I got. Good God Almighty. Oh my God, I feel like my jacket was about to fall off when I put the money in. I was walking like this. What's up, man? I was just ecstatic. And then I had to walk down this long aisle to get to the door. I'm thinking, I ain't going to make it. And I saw Vanita out of the corner of my eye. Oh, she going to find out I got that money. I'm like, Jesus, get me to the door, because here she come. If she make it to me, I'm telling. I'm just going to say, girl, we finna get married. And look what your daddy gave me. I'm just letting it out. I'm telling you, God, I'm going to tell God, if she gets to me before I get to the door, that's a sign for me that you want me to tell her. That's what I'm telling her. It ain't going to be no secret. You know, all I want to know is that I do right now at this moment. So we got to the door, and here she come. Somebody headed off. She ain't make it to me, Mike. So I ran to this guy named Mike Whitehead. I said, man, we got to go to temple. We got to go buy a ring. Because brother, man, getting married. He said, man, how much you got? I showed him. What you going to do after you buy the ring? Hey, don't worry about all that. God got it all figured out. I'm just getting married. In Philippians 4, let me show you. Philippians. I'm going to close with this. 4:4. We're going to pick up next week. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Amen. God says, fill yourself up with that. So that no matter what's going on around you, you have that joy. No matter how hard times are, struggling times, you're full of joy. I didn't know what was going to happen with me and Vanita, but I was full of joy because I had the Lord. I got that little, I think it was about $1,500 worth of $100 bills. I wouldn't worry about nobody. Hey, my ring was about, I remember when I bought the ring. Man, I was so fired up. I was running down the aisle. I got the ring, and the guy wanted a couple thousand. I said, man, I'm going to give you $1,100. He said, man, how you going to give me $1,100 for my ring when I'm telling you what the thing ring costs? I said, this is how I'm going to give it to you. Mike Whitehead's mother was a multimillionaire. Took me to her jewelry in his basement in Tampa, Florida. He sold all the jewelry to K Jewelry and all the jewelries. So he said, I will sell this to them for $3,000 or $4,000. I got it appraised, the ring appraised for $5,000. And he said, now you want me to sell it to you for $1,100? I said, I need another $400 because I got to find a place to live when I get married. I can't give you all my money. He said, man, at least you're telling me the truth. I said, yeah, leave me a few hundred dollars. Because everybody asks me what I'm going to do once I ask a woman to marry me. So God must want me to do something else besides get married. So can you leave me with a few $100 bills? He said, man, take this ring, go and buy your business. He said, go ahead, get the ring. Man, I went out that door. I was trying to do the crip walk. I was so happy. Back then we did the funky chicken. I had that thing going, man. I was so fired up by life. I got my ring. Now all I need to do is the woman say yes. I wouldn't worry about that because the Lord already told me about that one. But I was full of joy. But I was happy no matter what happened. If his dad, listen to me now. If his dad, her dad wouldn't have gave me a dime, I was still happy in the Lord. When my mama told me no, didn't have no money, I didn't get mad and go, I don't want to be a Christian no more. Nobody even likes me, man. I'm so mad about this. Everybody against me, man. Not because I can't get what I want. No, I understand my mom was broke, just like me. So if Vanita's dad said no, I'd have just went and worked two or three lawnmower jobs. Would have figured it out. I didn't let my circumstance rob me of my joy. You let your circumstance rob you of your joy in the Lord. You got to stop allowing things to dictate whether you're happy or you're sad. No matter how hard times get, be joyful always in the Lord. Pray and pray and pray some more and give God his glory. Man, I can't wait to finish talking about this one. Because we got to get this one right. Too many of you come in, the whole world is like weighing you down. Now, it's all over your face, how you walk, how you look. Some of you mad, man, I'd be like, Lord, have mercy. Should I say good morning? Man, we got to not let the world dictate that in our lives no more, amen? Give God his glory. The way we walk, the way we talk is God's glory. It's his praise. We are his children. He doesn't call for us to be moping and doping and acting crazy and sad and looking like the world has come to an end. Man, I can't wait for the world to come here. I'm ready to go to heaven. It's hard living on this earth. Somebody said to me the other day, I can't believe you say that. Man, what? Take me home now. I don't want to be in pain, but take me home. You ain't got to let a train hit me, but take me home. I will go right now. All I ask God for one thing, when you're ready to take me, let me go first. And between me and Vanita, brother man need to go first. That's all I ask, Jesus. That's between me and the Lord. I hope he answered that prayer, or at least take us together. But don't leave me here. I'm too old. Let me go first. But I want to go to heaven. What about you? And I'm going to go joyfully. And when I go, when it's time for go, I don't want Brittany Michael cry. Man, I can't believe you took my dad. Oh, no. Man, you better be like, man, my dad lived a good life. Praise the Lord. Let me shed a tear. Pow. All right, let's move on. Let's move on, man. At least he got Jesus. He loved the Lord. I'm proud of how my dad lived his life. You know, my kid, I don't want my kids to go, but if they go now, I'm going to cry, and then I'm going to move on. Man, I'm proud how my kids live their life with the Lord. I'm not been on funeral. Why? Why? Because he say so. That's his plan. I'm going to say, okay, God, thank you for letting me have Brittany for 25 years. Thank you for letting me have Michael for 22. It'll be 23 that's coming up in December. I'm going to be grateful. I'm just going to reminisce how that crazy rascal was jumping off beds and about to kill himself. I'm gonna remember how Brittany was just sitting in my lap to my daddy. And I would just melt and give, okay, what you need, babe? What you need? What you need? I'm gonna remember the good stuff. I'm gonna remember, I do wanna go first, but if he take Vanita first, I'm gonna cry and then I'm gonna just be grateful for all the years we've been married. We've been married. Listen, I've known Vanita since I was 9 years old. I got a lot to be grateful for. My wife and I went to elementary, middle, high school, and junior college together. She chased me all over the place. Hey, my wife told everybody, move, move. Okay, now let me repent. I did the chasing. Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned, but I repent. I chased everywhere she went. But, and then we're together, my God. What? Everyone I wake up to, yeah, I be getting in. She's still here. Pray for the Lord. I'm just so grateful. We got a lot to be grateful for, a lot to be thankful for. And I'm looking forward to finish praying and sharing that with you. Because we're going to get this on right. When we come to church, and when we walk in the room, the whole room should light up. They can turn off the lights, and we don't need them. Because we just got so much joy. We're illuminating. No matter how dark our skin is, we're just illuminating. It's that glow. Every one of us giving God his glory, praise, and honor. And to God be the glory. Amen. Amen. Amen.